Welcome to Live with Lon today. We are so glad you're with us. I'm coming to you today with our very last message in our series on the Gospels. Wow, what a great series this has been. And we're going to continue by going right into the book of Acts, which is the natural flow of the New Testament. And praise God. Now, today, we're going to be in Mark, the last chapter of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. And have you ever wondered or had someone ask you the question, why are you doing this? Why are you here in this particular situation? There's a really sweet movie I was watching. It's about a rowing team that got a new coach. I don't remember the name of it right now, but it starts by him lining up his team, his varsity crew of the boat, you know, and asking them to each write down, why are you here? Why are you here on this rowing team? And some of them had all kinds of crazy answers, you know, but none of them got it right when he first asked it. Finally, the answer comes out from one of the varsity rowers. Oh, I'm here to win a national championship. Bingo. And as he goes on to the coach does to talk to them, he tries to impress upon them, gentlemen, if you don't know why you're here, then you're definitely not going to achieve it. If you don't know what you're shooting at, you're definitely going to miss. Now, friends, that's true in our lives. Why are we here? Say, what do you mean, here, listening to Live with Lon? No. As believers in Jesus, why are we here on earth? We're going to answer that question today. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use the Word of God today to help us answer this most important question. Why are we here on earth as believers in the Lord Jesus? And Father, I pray that making sure we know the answer to this will help solidify and help re-energize our commitment to seeking to achieve this goal. Lord, use the Word of God in our lives today and anoint me that I might teach it with power and with authority and correctly for the glory of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Now, we're going to find the answer to our question here in Mark chapter 16. And here in Mark chapter 16, the resurrection has happened. And Mary Magdalene has gone and told all the disciples that she saw the risen Christ, and he has appeared to them several times. So this is during his post-resurrection ministry of 40 days. Is it at the beginning or the end? I don't know. But it's during that time. So here we go, verse 14 of Mark 16. Afterward, he, Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Now, why are they called the 11? Well, there were 12 disciples. One of them is missing. Who's that? Obviously, Judas Iscariot, who committed suicide after betraying the Lord. Yes. Now, in Acts chapter 1, they're going to elect a new 12th disciple. but they don't have it yet. So it's the 11. And he, Jesus, rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, of course, Doubting Thomas is the great example of this. But some of the other disciples, I think, had reservations as well. And this is what Jesus was unhappy about. And he said to them, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these are the signs that will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. The Bible doesn't say that it was right away. It gives that kind of that sense, but I don't know. And sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, the disciples, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, miracles, wonders. Amen. All right. Now, in a lot of Bibles, particularly Bibles other than the New King James and the King James, you will find these verses minimalized, maybe in a footnote, and it'll say something like the most ancient manuscripts do not contain these verses. And that can really shake people's confidence. You know, is there something in our Bible that doesn't belong there, our modern Bibles? And if that's the case, maybe there's other things in there that are incorrect. Folks, this is why I like the New King James Version of the Bible, among other reasons, is that it has those verses in the Bible. It doesn't minimalize them. No. And let me tell you why they should not be minimalized. The vast majority of New Testament manuscripts have these verses in it. I'm talking thousands of manuscripts and versions of the New Testament that we have. However, the two oldest, most complete copies of the New Testament we have, and they're not fully complete, but they're mostly complete, are Codex Sinaiticus. You're like, what? No, Codex. Codex simply means something in a book form instead of in a scroll form. That's all it means. Codex Sinaiticus, which came from Mount, where do you think? Sinai, Sinaiticus, and Codex Vaticanus, which is where? Where do you think? In the Vatican. Okay. These are the two oldest, mostly complete copies of the New Testament we have. They come from the 4th century AD, 325 to 350, give or take. One was found in the Vatican, and the other one was found, the monks who are at the St. Catherine's Monastery at Mount Sinai. If you ever go to Israel with me, take the Mount Sinai extension. We'll go to St. Catherine's, where we're in the library there. This Codex Sinaiticus was actually discovered 1859 by Count Tischendorf. Found it. Anyway, I don't care about that. I know you don't. But in these two manuscripts, these verses are missing from the end of Mark's gospel. And so therefore, scholars, many of them, so-called scholars, make the assumption that these verses are not authentic and shouldn't be in the Bible. Let me tell you why I don't believe that's correct. Number one, the vast majority of manuscripts have these verses, meaning that the overall weight of manuscript tradition is that these verses are legitimate. Second of all, these two older copies, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, are highly corrected, meaning there's a lot of annotations and notes and corrections written between the lines. And so when Erasmus, you say, who's he? He was a very famous monk who translated the Bible into Latin, the Latin Vulgate. The Vulgate means the common Latin that the everyday person could read. When he translated the Vulgate, the Latin Vulgate, he did the translation, by the way, while he was resident at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, where Jesus built over the traditional site where Jesus was born. He was living there when he did the translation. But he had lots and lots and lots of versions. The Syriac, the Vaticanus, and many, many others. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and all these other manuscripts, he put this in his translation because he, whenever the readings of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, whenever those two ancient manuscripts disagreed with the broad family of other manuscripts that he had, he did not follow these two older works because he didn't think that they were that reliable. He followed the basic, the numerically superior manuscripts. Are you with me? And the last thing I would say is, if these two older manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, were really the most correct, the most accurate, and everybody recognized that in the fourth century, then why doesn't the manuscript numbers, why don't the vast majority of manuscripts we have follow these two older works, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus? Why don't they follow them? We have very few later manuscripts that follow these two oldest ones we have. Why is that if they were known by everybody back in the fourth century to be the most correct? Many people obviously felt like Erasmus that they were not that reliable, or we would have a much larger following in the centuries afterwards, a much larger following of these two older manuscripts. Are you with me? All of that to say, I believe these verses belong in the Bible, and I believe that the New Testament and Old Testament that are found in the King James Version of the Bible and the New King James comes from this very, very numerically superior family of manuscripts, and it's why I like it better. Now, I don't want to shake your confidence in the Bible. You read the Bible, no matter which Bible you read, you're going to get, with very little exception, the very same readings in all of them. There's only a couple of places, like this one, where there's any kind of significant difference. And on those, I say stick with the family represented by the New King James and the King James. Okay. Now, after all of that, I think these verses are genuine. And look what they say. Verse 15, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Well, the word gospel means good news in Greek. Evangelicum means good news. And the gospel is good news. The gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've looked at this before, but Paul defines the gospel. Here's what he says. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. This is the gospel. Verse 1 of that chapter says, moreover, brethren, look at this, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you have received, and in which you stand, and by which you are saved. And what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. That is the gospel. And this is what we are told to go by Jesus here in Mark chapter 16 into all the world and preach this and declare this and teach this to people. And those who believe it, Jesus says, will be saved, and those who don't will be damned, condemned. Okay, so in summary, why are we still here as believers? What is the answer? We are here to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the answer. Pure and simple. All right, now that's as far as we're going to go in our passage. Let's ask our most important question. You ready? 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And hey, baby. The gospel, he who believes the gospel will be saved. How sweet is that? Or as Jackie Gleason would say, how sweet it is to know that. Yes. Now, what does this mean for your life and my life? Oh, it means a lot. It means very simply that God didn't leave you and me here to pursue with passion other sources, other goals, other sources for the meaning of our life, other goals for why we are still here, other than going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Now, can you fulfill this? It's often called the Great Commission. Can we fulfill this without being a full-time missionary? Yes, you can. Can you fulfill this without being a full-time preacher or Christian worker? Yes, you can. You can go into all the world and preach the gospel as a plumber. You can go into all the world and preach the gospel as an electrician. You can go into all the world and preach the gospel as someone who has a yard work business, or as someone who works in a factory, or as a member of the military, or as a student. Why? Because in all the contacts that we make, all the people that we meet and come across, we can share Christ with them, given that the Lord opens the door for us, and we can have a passion to share and want to share with everybody who will let us. Yeah, you don't have to be a full-time Christian worker to do this. In fact, here in my neighborhood, I was riding around in the golf cart with my daughter, Jill. I have a golf cart someone very graciously provided us back during COVID quarantine so we could get Jilly out of the house. I mean, she, poor thing, couldn't go anywhere. And this dear, dear friend, and you know who you are, and I just say, man, how much I love you. We still use it all the time. As long as the weather cooperates, we're out riding around every afternoon in the golf cart, me and Jill, and feeding dogs, dog biscuits, as we come across them. We know all the dogs in the neighborhood just about, and they all know Jill. When they hear the golf cart coming, they, if their owner's walking them, man, they pull the owner bodily over to the golf cart. They start barking. They know it's Jill, and she's coming to give them a dog biscuit. It's wonderful. But we rode by this big truck. Well, it wasn't an 18-wheeler, but it was a large truck. And it was a lawn service business. And on the side of this truck and on the back of this truck was writing by, I guess, the company owner about the gospel. And he wrote, yeah, I love Jesus, and this is what the Bible says. And he had scripture. It was written on the truck. So if you saw the truck on the highway, you got the gospel. If you saw the truck like we did, sitting in front of somebody's house while they were doing their yard work, we got the gospel. You saw it parked in front of his house, you got the gospel. You don't have to be a full-time missionary or Christian worker to give out the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Folks, this is why you're here. This is why I'm here. If it weren't for this, God would take us to heaven right now. I mean, we're not taking any of this stuff here on earth with us. So to stay here on earth, to lay up goods, that's crazy. God, why would God leave us here to lay up wealth here on earth? We're not taking it, but we can't take it with us anyway. Paul says that. I was born with nothing, and I'm going to take nothing with me, Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6. So is anything wrong with working hard and trying to be comfortable in life and having a nice car and, you know, having nice furniture? No, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we don't lose the main thing. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is not to make money. The main thing is not to lay up possessions. The main thing is not to lay up power and authority for ourselves. The main thing is not to try to become famous and have notoriety. This is not the main thing. If it happens, great. And if God blesses you with it, great. But this is not the main thing. The main thing is to use those resources and to use your own personal resources, your health, your strength, your mental capabilities, your verbal capabilities, all of that, to preach the gospel, share the gospel with every creature. That's why we're here. Okay. Now, did this team of rowers ever win the national championship? Actually, it's a true story, and they did. And it never would have happened, though, if this coach had not refined their understanding of why they were there at the school on the rowing team. Folks, I hope today God has refined our understanding of why we're here. Preach the gospel with everybody, every creature that we have the opportunity. Now, I keep tracks and CDs in my foyer. I have a little table there, and I have a pull-out drawer. It's about this deep. And I have tracks and all kinds of CDs and Farsi and Korean and Mandarin. We have 14 languages where my testimony, when I was at McLean Bible Church, we translated my testimony into, and Italian and French, all of this. And whenever anybody comes to the door, I always try to see if I can share a track with them, a delivery person, somebody, you know, someone from Amazon, somebody delivering food. I've tried to give the male delivery person who is Chinese my testimony in Chinese over and over and over again. He won't take it. But I'm trying. I'm trying. Why? Because that's why I'm here, is to share the gospel. Friends, I'll close with saying this. I had somebody who was with me when some workers were here at my house, and I took out, they spoke Espanol, see? Not real great English, but I have on my CD and a sermon on how to know you're going to heaven, both translated into Espanol. And most cars still have CD players. So I took it out. I gave it to them. I told them I'm Jewish, but I believe in Jesus. And they got that much anyway. And I was a pastore, and here, you know, and later on that day, they were standing out there taking a break, and I heard them listening to one of these CDs as they were sitting there having a 15 or 20 minute break. They started listening to the CD. Praise God. And this person I had with me said, "Wow, I don't understand. Why? How did you get to be so bold? How did you get to be so unafraid and just go right out there and do this?" And I turned to this person and I said, "Well, you know, that's why God left me here. That's why God left you here. I mean, this is the highest reason that I exist here on earth and that I get up every morning in God's mind, is to go out and share the gospel. Plus, I'm older and I really don't care as much as I used to what people think of me. If they think I'm nuts or whatever, fine. Who cares? I wish I'd have had as much sense to care, not care about people, you know, thinking I was crazy for sharing Christ when I was younger. I wouldn't have got as embarrassed about it. And I wouldn't have let the Lord down as many times as I did when I should have shared. Look, we all let the Lord down when we should share. But we can all get better. So if you know that's your goal, then let's get in the water, take the oar, and let's work harder at getting it done. Don't be afraid. Doesn't matter what people think of you. You know, well, the only thing that matters is what the Lord thinks. Jesus said this, he said, and with this I'll close. He said, "I will tell you who to fear. Don't fear the one who after they kill the body, they can't do anything else to you." He said, "I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one that after he kills the body, he has the authority to cast your soul into hell," meaning God. So don't worry about people. They're not going to govern your eternal destiny or the rewards you get in heaven. Don't worry about them. Fear God. Respect him. Love him. And let's get out here and do our job. Lord Jesus, thanks for reminding us today that this is the Great Commission. This is the reason we're here on earth, why you left us here on earth. Lord, forgive all of us for the times we let you down and we shrink back and we're embarrassed. We got cotton balls in our throat and we failed to share. Lord Jesus, help us to be much more concerned what you think about us than what any human being thinks. And give us, Lord, the excitement and the courage to step out and share the gospel with everybody, every creature. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And what? Amen. God bless you.